And I love the theme of Kids Club this year. It was amazing. And I know we've talked about it a little bit, but let's just make sure that the adults remember it. When life is wild, when life is unfair, when life is sad, when life is scary, and when life is good, that's exactly right. And I love that theme because whether you're 5 years old or whether you're 50 years old, that's a really important lesson to learn. And actually today, I'm going to tell you a story about a man in the Bible who had a really wild life. Sometimes his life was scary. Sometimes his life was just unfair. Sometimes his life was sad. But through it all, we see that God was good. And I'm going to tell you a story because I think, I mean, who likes a story? Who loves stories? Adults, you guys also love stories? That's what's so cool about stories, is that whether you're young or old or small or big, you all love stories. And actually really clever people in the world, like doctors and scientists and stuff, they've been taking pictures of people's brains. And you know what they found out? They found out that our brains are actually wired for stories. They're made for stories. And so we actually remember stories way better than we do just a list of facts or a boring lecture where someone just gives you a lot of information. A lot of people fall asleep. We've seen that happening in One Tribe, by the way, on Sundays. But stories stick with you. And here at One Tribe, we love stories. We love stories from the Bible because we know that they teach us wonderful things about God and His truth. So today, we're going to tell you a story about a man called Nehemiah. And do you know that the Bible is actually a bunch of little stories that tell one big story about a God who loves us and a God who sent His Son, Jesus, to rescue us and a God who wants us to enjoy being His friends forever. So now this story of Nehemiah, actually the adults have been hearing about him a lot the last 5 weeks. So they think that they know a lot about him. And adults, you may remember that our story starts off in a country called Persia. And God's special people, the Jews, have been chased out of their special city, Jerusalem, because they've walked away from God. And in this capital of Persia, there's a man called Nehemiah who's working there, even though some of the other Jews have gone back to the special city called Jerusalem. And because we want the adults to really remember the story, and we want them to really understand the story, I know some of you kids are ready to help me with some actions. Is that right? As I tell the story. So you guys can start to get ready for that. And we're going to pray that as you guys do the actions and as I tell the story, that God would speak to us, whether you're a kid or whether you're an adult, and that actually the story will get stuck in our mind and come alive in our minds, and it will go down into our hearts. And we're praying that God will speak to us about what He wants us to understand from the story. Okay, can I have your attention? I know there's movement behind me, but I need to give you a warning. At the end of the story, I'm going to test to see if you are listening carefully. Okay? So you've got to listen to the story properly, because at the end of the story, you don't just get to walk out. Okay? At the end of the story, I'm going to ask you some questions about the story. And when that happens, I don't want you to be shy or quiet. I want you to be fast and brave and loud and answer my questions. Can you do that, guys? Yes. Kids, can you do that? Yes. Adults, can you do that? Can you be ready to answer? Yes. Excellent. Let's pray together and then we're going to start the story. God, we thank you for just the joy in your presence this morning. God, we thank you that you're the God of families and that you welcomed us into the family of God. God, thank you that today we get to look at a story from your word, and we just want to ask that you would speak to us by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, won't you just reveal truth to us in this story, and I pray that we would all, young and old, walk out of here differently because of what you say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so when Nehemiah's brother came to Susa in the capital of Persia, Nehemiah asked them about the Jews who had survived the exile and about the city of Jerusalem. And they told him.
Those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire.
Awesome special effects. And so Nehemiah was greatly troubled when he heard this news. And he wept, and he fasted, and he prayed for days. And then Nehemiah called out to the Lord.
Lord, the God of heaven, the God, the great and awesome God, the loving God who always keeps his promises. Here's my prayer for the people of Israel. I confess the sins we have Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have done. Remember what you said to Moses? What if we have sinned and have been scattered by you, but we return to you and obey you? You will gather us back from the farthest horizon to place you have chosen for your presence to live. And give me success today by giving me favor with this man.
That's right, because Nehemiah was cupbearer to the king. Now, a little while after that, Nehemiah took some wine to King Artaxerxes. And because he had never been sad before in the king's presence, the king noticed, and the king asked him,
"Looking so sad today? You're not even sick. This must be sadness of the heart."
Now Nehemiah was a little bit afraid because you weren't really supposed to be sad in the king's presence. But he answered back to the king.
Long live the king! And why shouldn't I be depressed when the city where my family's buried is in ruins and the city gates have been burnt with fire?
So the king asked him,
"So, what do you want?"
Nehemiah, saying a prayer under his breath to the God of heaven, responded to the king.
"If it please the king, and if the king thinks it well of me, send me to Judah, to the city family is buried, so that I can rebuild it."
Amazingly, the king gave him permission, and he gave him letters of authority so that he could have safe travel along the way, as well as having all of the supplies that he needed for the rebuilding. But the Jews who had some enemies, and they were unhappy about Nehemiah's mission. Sanballat and Tobiah! They were officials of areas near Jerusalem, and they were furious. Now, when Nehemiah came to the city of Jerusalem, he didn't tell anyone exactly what he was doing there. And for 3 days...
Guys, go back. There's no one in group two.
Are you going to do the actions for me? Hey, group two, we're assembling you now. Come to action. Whatever I say, act it. Okay. When Nehemiah came to Jerusalem, he didn't tell anybody what he was doing there. But instead, he surveyed the city and the walls and the gates for 3 days. The officials and the nobles who would be helping him to rebuild the wall didn't know what he was doing there until he came to them and he gave them his report.
"Face it, we're in a bad way here. Jerusalem is a wreck. Its gates are burned up. Come, let's rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and not live with this disgrace any longer."
And he told them how God had been supporting him and how even the king was backing him up. And so they responded to him,
"We're with you. Let's get started."
And so they rolled up their sleeves and they got ready for the good work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and an Arab named Geshem heard that they had begun the work, they were very angry and they began to mock and ridicule the builders.
"Ha! What do you think you're doing? Do you think you can rebel against the king?"
So Nehemiah, he answered back to them,
"The God of heaven will make sure we succeed. We are his servants and we're going to work rebuilding. You can keep your noses out of it. You got no say in this. Jerusalem's none of your business."
But the opponents just kept on teasing them.
"What are those rebel Jews doing? Will they really restore the wall? Will they try and finish it in a day? Can they be man, pieces of taka taka.
And they said something else.
What are they building? Even a fox can climb on it, will break it down with their wall of stones.
But Nehemiah just asked God to take all of their ugly words and put them back on their own heads. The people managed to rebuild the wall to half its height, and they worked, kept working with all of their hearts. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Philistines heard about this, they were angry again, and they plotted to come and fight against Jerusalem and to stir up trouble. And then the people who were building the wall began to lose heart. They were tired. There was so much taka-taka and broken stones that was in the way. And the threats of the enemy to come and attack them had started to discourage them. So Nehemiah, he took some people with swords and spears and he placed them in the gaps in the walls. And then he encouraged the people. He encouraged the people.
Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who's great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons and daughters, your wives and homes.
So the enemies heard that the Jews had gotten word of their plan to attack and had taken measures against it. And when they did that, the people just carried on the work. But from that day forward, half the people would work on rebuilding the wall and half the people would stand with swords and spears ready to defend the people. In fact, a lot of people would work with one hand and would hold a weapon in the other hand. And there was a trumpeter who would stay by Nehemiah, ready to sound the trumpet in case somebody came to cause trouble. Night and day they worked, always busy and always ready to defend themselves. Now, when the enemies heard that the wall was rebuilt and there were no more gaps in it, they sent a message to Nehemiah and they said, hey, come and meet us in the village by the open plains. But Nehemiah knew that they were scheming to harm him. And so Nehemiah sent a messenger back saying, hey, listen, there's no way I could possibly leave this important project. Four times they sent the same message, and four times Nehemiah sent back the same answer. Then Sanballat, he sent a fifth message, accusing Nehemiah of a plot to revolt against Persia and make himself king of Judah. He threatened Nehemiah that I'm going to spread that rumor everywhere so the king hears about it. But Nehemiah knew that Sanballat was just trying to frighten him so that he would give up the work. And he asked God to strengthen his hand. One day, somebody came up to Nehemiah and said, quickly! Hide inside the temple. There's an assassination plot against you. But Nehemiah knew that this person wasn't sent by God, but it was a prophet that had been hired by Sanballat and Tobiah to frighten him and to make him sin by hiding in the temple so that the people didn't respect him as a leader anymore. Finally, the wall was completed after only 52 days. And when all the enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were scared because they knew that God had been helping the people to rebuild the wall. There was no people living in the city yet, even though it was large, because the houses hadn't been rebuilt yet. But he put the doors in place and he assigned gatekeepers and priests. He put his brother in charge of the city and a commander along with him who was a very godly man. Some of the nobles and officials who had sworn oaths and made promises to Tobiah tried to convince Nehemiah, hey, Tobiah's actually a good guy. Maybe you should be friends with him. But Tobiah kept on sending letters to Nehemiah to scare him and to intimidate him. After the wall was complete, all the people assembled in the square because God had put it on Nehemiah's heart to register each family. And then Ezra the scribe brought out the book of the law of Moses. And the people sat and they listened carefully to it. Now, some of the Levites had to translate because not all the people who come back to the city could understand Hebrew anymore. But as the people listened, they wept. And they were afraid. And they worshiped God. But Nehemiah and the leaders told them,
your God. Don't cry. Go home and prepare a feast, holiday food and drink, and share it with those who don't have anything. This day is holy to God. Don't feel bad. The joy of God is in your strength.
And so the people, they celebrated with great joy. Because they understood the words that had been read to them. And they finally understood that this God who had helped them to restore the walls was indeed a very good God. Woo! Okay, let's give those kids a hand. They did amazingly. Well done, well done. That is amazing. Good work. There was incredible acting on the spot. You guys have got a good career ahead of you. So guys, remember I said at the end of the story, you don't just get to sit there. We want to unpack the story and as a family this morning. And so my first question to you, and I've got a mic if you need it, but feel free to shout out, is do you remember what happened in the beginning of the story? How did the story start? Bad news. Bad news came to Nehemiah. That's right. And then what happened? Any kids? He wept. He cried like a baby. And then he said? Tell us. Tell everyone. Hold on. Hold on. Yes.
That he can't leave this port in mission.
That's right. Because when people started intimidating once he had gone, he said, I can't leave that important mission. What else happened at the beginning of the story? Anyone else remember?
He went to the king.
He went to the king. What did he ask the king?
If he can go to Judah and help rebuild the city.
And what did the king say?
Yes.
He said yes. It was amazing. And God's hand was on him. That's right. Now I want to fast forward to the middle of the story. And I want you all to imagine. Close your eyes, adults. Close your eyes, kids. Is everyone's eyes closed? I want you to imagine that you're one of the builders with Nehemiah. I want you to imagine that the wall is now about halfway built. I want you to imagine that it's hot and it's dusty. You've been working for days and you're tired. I want you to imagine that there's pieces of stone all around you that you're having to walk over, you're tripping in them. And then I want you to imagine what it felt like when people started whispering in your ear, do you know the enemy is coming to attack us? Do you know that they're coming after us? I want you to imagine what you would smell. I want you to imagine what you would see. I want you to imagine how you would feel in that moment. Okay, you can open your eyes. What did some of you guys imagine? How would you feel if you were one of those builders at that moment?
I would feel alone.
Alone! Lonely!
And I would not have anybody to be with me.
Yeah. It would be tough. You feel like you're isolated and you're in trouble.
I feel terrified.
Terrified. Why would you feel terrified?
Loss.
Oh, that's a good reason to feel terrified. Absolutely.
I'd feel scared and lose hope.
You might feel scared and lose hope. And that's what the story said. It said the people began to lose hope.
I would have been sad because the wall had been demolished.
That's right. Look around at the city of Jerusalem, and the wall is demolished. Christian, did you want to say something? Shout it out. That you were scared? Yeah. That is absolutely right. You'd feel scared, and people who don't know God are coming to attack you. It's a rough time. Adults, how did you feel? Shout out some quick answers. Anything new from the adults? Your imaginations are dead. Any answers from the adults? Discouraged. Absolutely. Thank you for the support. Discouraged. You're halfway through, but there's still much to be done. Now, I want to ask you a question. What would you say is the highlight of the story? What would you say is like the mountaintop of the story? Every story has a climax. What is the climax of the story? Anyone got any ideas?
When people celebrated that they were done with the wall.
Do you guys agree with that? Yeah. Was that celebration at the end the highlight for all of you? There was a big party that happened in Jerusalem that day. Now remember at the beginning we said that when we look at stories in the Bible, The Bible is made up of a lot of little stories that all tell one big story about God and his son Jesus and his plans for us. So I want to ask you guys a bit of a harder question. How does this little story tell us something about the bigger story of who God is and about his son and his plans for us? Does anyone have any ideas?
God helps us in times of trouble.
Absolutely. God is a God who helps in times of trouble. He just doesn't stay far off.
God is always with us.
God is always with you. Absolutely. God even through tough times.
God keeps his promises.
Whoa, that's a goodie. God keeps his promises. Even when it looks like it's not going to happen. Whoa, there's a lot of hands going up.
God answers your prayer.
God answers prayer. That's a great thing to learn about this big God.
God takes care of us.
God takes care of us.
God takes care of us.
God takes care of us. Two times. Absolutely. Twice over. Adults, what do we learn about the big story? We've got to give the adults a chance, guys. What do we learn about the big story of God? Yes, ma'am. Can we pass you the mic?
That God cannot put you in a place where he knows you can't come out from.
Absolutely.
Victorious.
God knows your limits. He's there with you even in the darkest times. Any other adults, what do we learn about the big story of God? God wants us to be in community. That's a great answer. At the end of the story, we see God bringing a people back together for himself. God used all these bad things and good things, and he worked them together for his purposes. Doug, God has a plan. God knows what's going on, even when we don't. Well done. Okay, let's give two more kids.
God wants to take everyone together so they can work as a group.
He wants to make them a team.
God forgive us.
God does. You right there where they prayed for forgiveness, and God forgave them. He came close to them.
God, we stand up for ourselves and God feels good.
Absolutely. God, when we stand up and take a step of faith, God comes right behind us and helps us. Isn't that right?
God is good.
God is good. Yes. Well done, guys. So we can see from the story in Nehemiah, there's so much truth just from one story in the Bible that we can pull out. And I just want to talk a little bit about more this climax in the story this morning, of this great celebration that happened at the end of Nehemiah. Because I was really struck by this as I went over the story this week. You know, there's a type of joy that comes from relief from bad circumstances. There's a type of joy that comes from things like, if you've got enemies like the Jews did, God protecting you from them, they didn't come attack you that night, whew, we were safe. There's also a type of joy that comes from finishing a great work and an important task. There's a joy that comes from getting that job done, isn't there? Just like the Jews, when they finished the wall of Jerusalem, there was a joy that came with that. Hey, but then there's a type of joy that comes from knowing you are forgiven by God. And we saw that in the story as the Jews, as one of the kids said, God forgives us, as we turn back to them and pray. And that is awesome, but as awesome as that is, do you know that there's an even deeper type of joy? You see, there's a type of joy that comes just not from the awesome thing God did for us by forgiving us, but there's a type of joy that comes from being in friendship with God himself. There's a type of joy that comes from delighting not just in what God has done, but in who God is. Delighting in God himself. And I was so encouraged this morning because Damaris read a verse at the beginning of the service. And this is the verse I wanted to share with you today. It's exactly the same verse. And it's so cool when God is speaking to us throughout the service. And this is from the International Children's Bible. And it's from Romans 5, 9 to 11. And it says this: we have been made right with God through the blood of Christ's death, so that through Christ we will surely be saved from his coming anger. I mean that while we were God's enemies, God made us his friends through the death of his son. Surely now that we are God's friends, God will save us through his son's life. And not only that, but now we are also very happy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, we are now God's friends again. Hey guys, do you know that the end of the story of Nehemiah is a people rejoicing in God himself? And do you know that the end of the story of the Bible is the same ending? It's the end of the story of the gospel. The end of the story of the gospel is not that God just fixes all of our problems in our lives. In fact, life is wild. It's sometimes unfair, and it's sometimes sad. Hey, the end of the story of the gospel is not that we're going to do some amazing things and accomplish some wonderful things for the kingdom on earth, although that's true, praise God. And the end of the story of the gospel is not even that we are forgiven from our sins and set free from the wrath of God, although that is something to be extremely joyful about. But guys, the end of the story of the gospel, as we see in this passage in Romans, it says that not only that, but now we are also very happy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The end of the story of gospel is that we get to enjoy God forever. And do you know that when we do that, that's when God gets the most glory and the most praise and the most worship? Hey, let's just end this morning with the words from John Piper, because he says it really well. This is what he says. The end of the gospel, he's talking about the same passage in Romans. The end of the gospel is we rejoice in God. The highest, fullest, deepest, sweetest good of the gospel is God himself, enjoyed by his redeemed people. God in Christ became the price. That was the sacrifice for our sins. But God in Christ then becomes the price. Hey, the gospel is the good news that God bought for us, the everlasting enjoyment of God. Isn't that good news? And we're going to sing a song just to cap things off this morning. The band can come back up. And this is a song that actually fits this theme. It's called Ashes to Joy. And this song was actually written by One Tribe is Here. And it's all about the story of Nehemiah. And it's all about the story of God. This God who loved us enough to rescue us. This God who loved us enough to pay the price so that we could be forgiven and come into a relationship with God. And this God who loved us enough to give us a destiny and eternity of enjoying God forever in Christ. And the kids are going to help us. Again, some of the kids from Kids Club have learned some actions. In fact, they've made up some actions for this song. And we're all going to stand together and worship together this morning. Over to you, band.